Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Welcome to the Living Savior Church today. Good to have each one of you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Happy Memorial Day. Praise the Lord. Good to have you on Memorial Day. That day is nearly here, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Now then, Cheryl's got a couple of things she wants to read to you.
Yes. All of y'all probably know that Ben and Megan Coulter are going to have a baby. That's Pastor Jeff's son and daughter-in-law, and they're going to have a little girl. They haven't picked out a name yet because Ben says he wants to see her when she comes out before he names her. So praise the Lord. So Jeff's going to be a granddaddy, but we are having next Saturday, June the 3rd at 10 a.m., there's going to be a shower, a baby shower for Megan. She's listed over at Target. Amazon's already been bought up, so you can get something for Target if you want to. If anybody'd like to have one of these sheets, and it's for females only, only women. So if you'd like a sheet to where to come to, it's from 10 to 12. It's over close to Keller in Fort Worth and at Megan's mother's house. And so we'd love all of y'all, all you females that would like to come. If you'd like to send a gift, you can drop it off out here and we'll take it for you. We'd love to do that. Okay, I have several praise reports. The first one's from Deanne Kackmeyer. She said, I'm so glad to have found Pastor Thurman. I've been confessing my sins and asking God to show them to me. He has already healed my back. It is better now than it has been in 25 years, in the last 25 years. Praise
wow,
God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord. Pastor Scribner, I just wanted to send you a quick note to encourage you. I've been listening to you for many years and wanted to share some of the miracles that God has done for me over the past 15 plus years. Through your teaching and studying God's Word, He has done amazing miracles. In the early 2000s, I can't recall exactly what year, my brother and I purchased a small farm. Not long after the purchase, the well went dry. The well person, who was a longtime expert in the area, told us that he wondered when it would dry up. And after checking out the situation, he told us there was no water on our farm of 40 acres. I prayed about it and was very unconcerned. That night, God gave me a dream. The dream was about Moses striking the rock and water coming forth abundantly. And when I awakened that morning, I asked my brother to go out to the well house, prime the pump, and water would flow. It did, and we never had a shortage of water for the time we lived there, approximately 8 years.
Praise the Lord.
Another great miracle was when I was driving through rush hour traffic in Oklahoma City, bumper-to-bumper traffic, traveling at about 75 miles per hour. I had my son and grandson in the car with me, and the rear end locked up. I was in the center lane of traffic, could not move. God literally put us in a bubble. No cars even came close to rear-ending us. Someone stopped the traffic, towed us to the side of the road. Countless times God has stopped rain so I could comfortably go in or out of different places. And after Joe and I had been married about a year, we were traveling across country. He had an old softball injury in his thigh, and it tormented him often. I just laid my hand on his leg, and after praying the prayer of faith, I could feel movement in the area that had been damaged. And from that point on, except for one time when the enemy thought he had a right to return, he did not. God completely healed his leg. I have many more stories of God's healing power. Thank you for the training that you have provided. I say thank you to you too, honey. And I'm sure that many others could share similar results, learning that God is all-powerful and He has given us way more authority than we can imagine. Thank you again for all you do, Joe and Pat Sulati.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I am so thankful for your messages, dear Pastor Scribner, and how you teach from your heart and how it seems you share even your day-to-day life with those that you teach, and I'm so glad to be one of them. So many things that the Lord had taught me or shown me already are affirmed by you when I listen to your messages. In some cases, I receive greater understanding or the ability to explain something that God planted a seed in me for. In some cases, I'm emboldened to pray with more confidence and stand on scriptures. I'm so thankful to God for my very good health, my strength and endurance, and the peace and joy in my heart. I was not led by the Lord to you for healing for myself. Instead, what I gain is teaching and understanding. I recently listened to a message where you responded to a family that called you out to the parking lot one healing school weekend, and you invited them in to attend the school that would be starting. They said they didn't have time for that, asking you to, quote, just pray for the woman with the illness. What a shame. They were missing the best part, seeming to count the teaching of God's word that you offered them as nothing. Here's an example from my day-to-day life showing what you have taught me to do. Last week, my laptop flipped off my lap, and I grabbed it by the mouse keys, and it froze, making a loud buzzing sound. I shut it down, and it would not restart normally. I tried again, and it, Windows, offered me an option for repair, and I selected that while I was asking the Lord what to do. I prayed and asked God to fix my laptop, knowing that He would. Windows indicated that this repair would take a few minutes. Well, my laptop ran all night in this mode, switching to the black Windows screen from 4:30 a.m. to 6 a.m., still stuck. In the morning, I thought to look up one of God's promises, and I read John 14:13-14 to the Lord, praising Him and reading what He said in His word about the laptop, and finished up with more praises that came to mind. Then I laid my hand on the laptop and told it to work in Jesus' name. I went to brush my teeth, and when I came back, the black Windows screen that it was stuck with had changed back to the repair process. Remember, it run all night, nearly 8 hours, doing nothing. I clicked it to continue, and it asked me if I wanted to restore, and I clicked yes. As I got ready for my day, I spoke several scriptures, maybe six or so, that came to mind, including verses from Psalm 91 that I will not fear multiple things, and that's the Lord rescues me from every trap, and that's when I call, and that when I call, He answers me and delivers me and is with me in trouble. I spoke that I trusted Him, and none of those who trust in the Lord will ever be disgraced from Psalms. I went back to the bath, and in a few moments, I heard my laptop come to life. I heard the sound it makes as it comes up. I got down on the floor and thanked and praised the Lord. I thought about what He had just taught me, and I was so thankful to Him. In the process, I felt the faith that it took to believe He would fix it. I had experienced the alternate thoughts, and I had willed myself to not think down those paths. After I had prayed earnestly, I disciplined myself to not think about it at all. So for quite a few years, I've asked the Lord to fix things and help me and give me the strength I need to do a particular task, etc. But being so earnest about my requests and speaking scriptures to the Lord is new for me and taught to me by you. Also, speaking directly to the situation, in this case, my laptop, is new for me too. I live alone with the Lord right now, and throughout the day I have many opportunities to call on Him and receive His help, and He teaches me tenderly through the day as I consider what I read in His word each day, and also what I hear Him teach me from what you say. I am so thankful for what and how you teach. Thank you, Pastor Thurman. I am changing quite a bit, rapidly improving, since I started listening to your teachings last fall. Given that the Lord has provided me with good health, what I receive from your ministry of healing is the assurance that if I'm not pleasing the Lord, He will let me know. And if He tells me gently, but I don't hear, He will tell me differently, and ultimately, He will get my attention, and I am thankful for that. Because no matter what happens to my body, I don't want my heart to disappoint the Lord. I had seen the relationship between sin and sickness in the Bible, but I didn't know that the Lord was using it so directly to curb us and direct us and deliver us from sin if we will hear Him and heed Him. It comforts me so much to know this. Thank you for your boldness in teaching this to us. In a nutshell, you are teaching us how directly God communicates with us, how much He loves us, to keep us from sin, and that when we flee from sin and repent, healing is always available to us. This is such comforting provision. Thank you for teaching us this. Gratefully, Aaliyah Deneau.
Well, I will have to say, a while ago, a couple of things happened as people were coming in. One of the ladies was coming in. She said she went somewhere. I think it was last night. And they got to talking, and she said something about she went to church out here or something at the Living Savior Church. And she said the people I was talking to said, you'll get some false teaching out there. You better really straighten your life up, because you're going to get some wrong stuff if you go out to Living Savior Church. I'm going to tell you all the same thing that the owner of the TV network in Norway, when we went to Norway to speak over there, after a few days of teaching the things that I teach from God's Word, right out of His Word, we had several pastors from Norway and all over Scandinavia contact the owner and said, you need to get that guy off of your set. He's teaching all this false stuff, false doctrine. You know that's not what the Word of God says. So anyway, after we went along there for about a week, three or four or five days, whatever, he got up on the set himself, and he said, "Boys, some of you guys are on the set. Some of you are teach healing, and sometimes I call you to have a meeting, and you can't come because you're sick." So he said, and he said, "I've never seen so many people get right with God. The teaching, this man's teaching, which is right in God's Word, I have never seen so many people get repent, change from their wicked ways, come in confessing their sins, want to reconcile their marriages." He said, "If this is false doctrine, give me more of it." He said, "I love this false doctrine. It's getting people saved, healed, delivered, and made whole." Isn't that amazing? God's Word really does work, doesn't it?
Amen.
It really does work. I think about another gentleman a while ago I was talking to here that come to church today, and he was telling me about, I think it was a laptop computer his wife bought him. And somewhere, he was going somewhere, and they, I think in a Suburban or something, and they had the computer, and somewhere he misplaced it. And he looked and he looked and he looked, and she looked and looked, and they looked and looked, and they couldn't find the computer. And then he happened to think about this false doctrine. "Ask the Lord anything, and he'll do it for you." Jeremiah 33:3. Is that amazing? So he decided to ask the Lord where the computer was. And I mean, you know, any dummy in your right mind would know that, you know, don't ask God. He don't know where your computer's at. So anyway, he said he went out and looked. He was drawn to go back to the car. Said he went to the car and he looked all over that car. Everywhere. Absolutely could not find that computer. So he just began to praise the Lord and thank him. "Lord, I don't know where that's at, but you know where it's at." And he said the Lord just impressed him to open the door on the Suburban. And he opened the door and laying right there on the floor, right there, which he had looked at least 6 or 8 times already. There lays that computer on the floor of the car.
Thank you.
Now, who do you think put that in there, Miss Betty? You think an angel might have put that in there?
Yes.
Yeah. We don't know where that thing was, but he found his computer. But how did he find it? Asking God. Isn't it amazing? I would really like, this Psalm 91 is so good. I would like for Cheryl to read. I don't know whether you have to get back up there with your microphone or what you have to do to be able to do that, but I would like for you to read Psalm 91. Now listen to this one more time. This is what we need to do. Every one of us needs to do this, and listen to what Cheryl's going to read to you, and this is the absolute truth. Listen.
Psalm 91, God's Prayer for Protection. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Just think now. I want you to think and meditate on this a moment. from God's Word, the wonderful Word of the living God, which cannot be changed, is forever settled in heaven. If we literally obey this book, those 13 verses, how much sickness did God promise to take away from you? Just like that lady said in that praise report, she had never heard anybody say that God uses sickness to discipline us. But she said, I found out He does. She said, I found out from listening to the teaching and looking at the Word of God, if I do something that God doesn't like, He can use that to get my attention. Can He do that?
Absolutely.
He surely will, and He absolutely will. Once we take 1 John 1:9, in fact, let's take 1 John 1:9. Let's read that scripture right quick. 1 John 1:9. You notice what the very first word in that sentence is.
Yes.
If we confess our sins, if we confess our sin. Now then, I don't know about you, but whenever I look at that, I have to think, he says, if we confess our sin, what if we do not confess our sin? Now, what if we hear confession or testimony or whatever of people that would say, you don't have to confess your sin. You're saved. You're under grace. You don't have to worry about confessing sin. You're okay. Everything you've done has been taken care of on the cross. You don't have to confess sin anymore. But that's not true, is it? Because right here he says, if we confess, not somebody else's sin right here, our sin, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if you want to get clean, and I want to be clean, don't you?
Yes.
I want to be the man of God. I realize that what Dave is teaching us, that you are and have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. But still, everywhere in this book you look at, he says, the man that has this hope in him, Christ in us, the hope of glory, that person purifies himself from all evil. Now then, if I and you are born again believers, how much sin should we have in our life? There should be none. Not any. I mean, people say, but that's impossible. You cannot go through the day without sinning. I beg to differ with you. If it was impossible for me to walk without sin, He wouldn't have commanded me to do it. You know, if God commands you and me to walk holy and walk in obedience to His Word and have no sin, purify ourselves. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Who do you think he's talking about there when he says that? He's talking to us. Be ye holy, because I am holy. So, and just like I think it's in Matthew 5:48, he says, therefore be ye perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Now then, if he commanded you and me back over there in Matthew to be perfect, if it was impossible for us to be perfect, it wouldn't be fair if God commanded us to be perfect if we couldn't do it. Right? If we confess our sin, if we confess. So, Lord, I want to confess my sin, all of my sins, every sin I've ever committed. And, of course, the thing about it is it took me almost a lifetime to realize that this book means what it says, and I can do what it promises I can do. And I'm still not 100% sure that I'm there, but I'm working on it. I'm trying to get there, because I know if God says, whosoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. It took me a long time to realize, because I mean, I don't mind telling you that when I read that in John 20:23, when I read that about whosoever sins you confess, they're forgiven. And I looked at that and I thought, you know, I mean, that's the trouble. That's Jesus got into trouble with the Pharisees and Sadducees, because whenever he forgave sin, they said, who does this man think he is? Only God can forgive sin. Well, there again, we go back to the thing. Once we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, who are we? We are gods on this earth. I mean, don't take that wrong. Somebody said, don't throw rocks, you know, go ahead and kill Thurman now. Just, you know, take a rock and hit him right between the eyes, you know, because he's saying he's a god. But I am a god because I've been made a god by Jesus Christ living in me. Now, this piece of flesh that you see here, it's just flesh and blood. It's just a piece of dirt. But the God of heaven that lives in this piece of dirt can do awesome things, can he not? So just think, if Jesus says, when we have a problem, and everybody, like Dave said a while ago, how many of you have had a bad day in your life? Let me hold up every hand I got. I have had a bad day or two in my life. Have you not? I don't care who you are. Yes, we've all had bad days. You know, but that's just the trials and tests of life are going to be there. You know, many are the trials and tests of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. You know, so we know that you're not going to get through this earth without trials and tests. It's just a fact of life. That's the way it's going to happen. I don't care who you are. You can't get by without the trials and tests. And so you're going to have the bad days. In fact, I was talking with I don't know about you. Older than I am, but at 75 is when I began to notice a change in my life. Until I was 75, I had no compassion for you. If you couldn't go out and work 10, 12 hours a day, I said, you wimp, you know, you can't do nothing. Someone say, yeah, but Thurman, I'm 2 years older than you. I'm 77. I said, well, you know, I'm 75. And I said, I have no problem. I can work as many hours as I want to. I can run and play. I can build buildings. I can hang off these trusses upside down, you know, with a welder in my hand and a steel around my shoulder. In fact, I'll tell you what I did one day. I was building a barn down here for the horses. It's been years ago. Years ago. But I was building a barn for the horses, and I had the trusses laying across there, and they were about 4 feet apart. And I was going to step across there so I could weld. And when I started to step across, I hung that big lead. I had it wrapped around my shoulder from the welder. Had it wrapped around. I hung my foot. And when I went to reach my foot out for this 4 foot, you know how four foot is? That's a long ways. Well, I went to put my foot out there, and when I did, I hung that cord, and my foot didn't, when it hit the end of that cord, it stopped right there, and it's like about that much going to that next beam. And I'm 10, 15 feet off the ground, so whenever I get there and my leg stops, guess what this piece of dirt did? It kept falling. And it went down, and that beam, guess where it hit me? Right there in the hip. I fell face forward, face down on that beam from 5 foot up, just like I'm standing here. And I fell down and went down, and that right at the end of that cord, and that beam hit right across there. And it hurt so bad, I couldn't even open my eyes. I'm telling you. And I lay there for a minute thinking, Lord, I got to have some help. I can't handle this by myself. I got to have some help. So I opened my eyes, and the pain began to go away. And I finally got where I could get up on my hands and knees. And yes, here I am in the middle of nowhere down by the barn. There ain't nobody within a mile, nowhere. But guess what the first thing I did was? Look to see if somebody saw me do that. Because I'm not supposed to be a wimp. I'm supposed to be able to do everything. I can't help it if I was 55 or 60 years old. I'm supposed to be able to do everything because I'm always telling all the guys that work for me, oh, if you can't handle that, you're just a wimp. Well, let me tell you what, God showed me that I had needed his help, because let me tell you, when I went forward and I hit that beam, if you've never fell face forward, just about 4 foot almost from where your foot is here to this bone that goes right here and your hip, then that hit solid right there. You have never lived. Let me tell you, that will make you realize the pieces in your body that needs help from God. And I'm telling you, it hurt like nothing I ever done. But to think, I wasn't interested, did I break a bone? I was interested, did anybody see me do that dumb stunt? Somebody say, well, why in the world would you even be concerned about that? That's just, that's the way men live. You know, men are made different. You know, if that had been a woman and she fell across there, you could have heard her screaming for 5 miles. She would have had no problem letting you know she needed some help, but not us men, you know. I just think, you know, what we consider important. And after I looked around, I looked everywhere in every direction and saw that there was nobody looking nowhere that I could see. I thought, okay, now, Lord, let me see if I can get back up right. And so I did, and after I got right and got up there, I began to feel around myself, and I thought, well, there ain't no bones sticking out, so I guess I must be okay. And the Lord protected me from that, and I didn't. But it's amazing, amazing, you know, what we do. But, you know, there's a good friend of mine about my same age. He climbed up on his barn the other day, and it's not too long ago. He climbed up on his barn to put a piece of metal up there, and he had the ladder leaning on the front of the barn, and of course it's a tin barn. And he put the ladder up there, and he crawled up the ladder and tied the ladder to the beam. That's a wise thing to do. So he tied it up there, and he went to work, and he put some sheets on the roof and everything, and he got them all on there, but one. And he come down and he had untied the ladder on the way down. And he thought, well, okay, so it's 12 or 13 feet up there. So he says, okay, I've got it where I want it now. And so he came down, and after he came down, started putting stuff up, he realized that there's one sheet up there that I didn't anchor. But he said, okay, I'll just crawl back up the ladder, and here's the piece of tin right here. And he crawls up the ladder right here. What he should have done was got down and moved the ladder over where it would have been straight up. But he turned loose of the beam here and reached over. And when he did, that ladder slid out from under him. And when he did, a 75-year-old man fell 13 feet and hit right on his back in the dirt. You know what most men would say? Yeah, they'd definitely say, ouch, that's for sure. But most men go to the place to think that if you fall or you hurt yourself, the first thing we're programmed to do is, I wonder what bones I broke. You know, that's just the way we are. But he would not go there. He said, Lord, you said I could have whatever I asked for in Jesus' name, and I don't want no broken bones. I don't want no bruises. I'm going to lay here, and I'm going to let you fix me, and then I'm going to get up and finish putting that piece of iron on the roof, and I'm going to go home, and there ain't going to be a scratch on my body in Jesus' name. Now then, what did Jesus say we could have?
Anything.
Well, whatever we say with our mouth, if we can believe it with our heart, we can have it. That's right. So instead of thinking, I wonder what bones I broke, need to do it like he did and start confessing, I'm not going to have any broke bones. Everything's going to be great. See, he said, I just lay back in the dirt and relax and said, okay, Lord, this body belongs to you. I thank you for fixing it for me in Jesus' name. And he said, within just a few minutes, things began to move. Pains went away and numbness started going away. He lay there for 10 or 15 or 20 minutes, but by the time he got totally through, when he got up, there was not a mark on his body nowhere. Now, I might tell you that this man that has faith, this is the same man that came to me 20 years ago at Justin First Baptist Church, and he had roped a calf. And he had, as he roped that calf, come out of that chute, and he's going after that calf, and whenever he ropes that calf, and that he jumps off of that horse, and he goes running out the end of that rope, and as the calf makes a turn, whenever the horse stops and everything, and he reaches out, the calf moves some way, and he went forward and broke this hand all to pieces. I mean, just hit it, stuck it in the dirt. I mean, just broke his right hand, his wrist, just broke it everywhere. That man, he went to the doctor, and the doctor checked that hand, and they said, it's crushed, it's broken several places. He said, well, okay, thank you. He said, I'm going to have a guy by the name of Thurman Scrivener pray for me tomorrow at church. So the next day when I walked in the back door of First Baptist Church of Justin, he was standing on the very back, and he's looking back here. And when I started down the aisle, he comes running out in the aisle and said, "Thurman, I got to have you pray for me. I broke my wrist yesterday." I said, "Well, let's go down front." I said, "The church is just starting. Let's go down front." He said, "No, there's too much unbelief in this place. I don't want to go down to the front." I said, "Well, what do you want to do?" He said, "Take me to the library, the very back, where there ain't nobody in there, just you and me." I said, "Okay." So we went back there. We walked up there, and I said, "Which hand was it?" And he said, he held his hand up, and I said, "This is it." And he said, "Yes, it's broken." I reached up, and I said, "You know you have got to believe." He said, "You pray for me, and it's done. I know it." So I reached up and took his hand, and I said, "Bam!" Somebody said, "Oh, you crazy dummy." When you're led by the Spirit, that's the reason you do those kind of things. I would never have slapped a broken hand on my own. Never. But when you're led by the Spirit of the living God, you do exactly what He does. This body belongs to Him. It's not yours, it's His. And when you say, "Lord, use me for your glory today," if He tells you to do something, you just go do it. And whenever I slapped that hand, it knocked his hand plumb out of my hand, knocked it plumb down like that, and he grabbed his hand back up and he said, "My God, it's healed completely, totally." His hand was completely healed right there. Now then, that man has become one of my really good friends. Over the years, he was already a good friend of mine, but one day he was out here talking to me. He said, "I was in a coffee shop today having some coffee," and he said, "There's four men sitting there talking about you." And I said, "Oh, I think I'll just listen to see what they got to say." And he said, "They were talking about you being one of the most radical, crazy Christians they ever saw in their life." And so he said, why do you call Thurman crazy?" They said, "Well, he claims that he can heal the sick. He claims that he can do all these kind of things." He said, "Well, let me tell you something about this radical, crazy Thurman Scrivener." He said, "A few years ago, I broke my wrist roping a calf. And he prayed for me in the Baptist church up there, and the Lord instantly healed my broken hand." He said, "Now all I got to say," they said, "That really happened to you?" He said, "Boys, that happened to me. I didn't get this second hand. This happened to me. I saw it happen." And said, "My hand has been healed, and I've been roping calves with it ever since." He said, "In fact, that next week I roped calves with that hand, and which a doctor said couldn't be healed because it was broken all to pieces. But he said, God put it back together, and my hand has worked perfect." He said, "All I got to say is we need 1,000 more radical Christians in justice. If we need 1,000 more radical Christians, guess who that's going to be? That's going to be you. Right? You need to be one of those radical Christians. God said in His word over there in the book of Job, only 1,000, 1 in 1,000 will do the things I want them to do. Well, I think that we ought to be that man and that woman, don't you? I want to be the man that prays for people. I want to be the man that can ask God for something and see Him do great and mighty things. I want to be the guy that can be in the bed back there at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And Cheryl, I hear this little voice. "Are you still awake?" "Yes, honey, I'm still awake." She said, "I'm just reading the emails at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm just reading the emails, and here's a lady that needs, she's comatose and she needs some prayer. Can we pray for her right now?" So we do. We pray. And then a couple of days later, we get a report back. The lady is recovering and she's getting ready to go home. She had a stroke. You know, if we don't pray, what can God do? Nothing. If we pray, any way we can pray, it don't have to be a special way. In fact, if you have the people with you, in fact, with Cheryl, this has happened with Cheryl many times. Something in the middle of the night, her leg will start bothering her, her knee will start bothering her or whatever. And she'll, maybe it's 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'll hear this little voice say, "Honey, are you still awake?" And I say, "Yes, dear, what's wrong?" She said, "My knee is hurting. Will you pray for me?" and I reach over under the cover and find her knee and put my hand on it and ask the Lord to take away her pain, forgive all of her sins, forgive all of my sins, wash us in the blood. And then I thank him for it, and then he goes to sleep. She goes to sleep, and I go to sleep, and we sleep till the next morning. Did Jesus say we could lay hands on the sick and they'll get well? How do you mess that up? How do you mess up if you lay hands on the sick? Gracie, how do you mess that up? That's just hard. Mike, that's difficult to mess that one up. Lay hands on the sick and they'll get well. That's just pretty easy to understand, isn't it?
That's pretty easy.
Pretty easy. See, God made our part. So if you want to start seeing God do great and wonderful things, when you're in the grocery store, you walk up to, here's a guy in the grocery store, he's getting some stuff, and he's over there, and he's got a problem, and he's got a problem with his hand, and you say, hey, do you have a problem? Well, yes, my leg is bothering me. He said, can I pray for you?
Sure.
And they say, yes. So I say, Jesus told me to lay hands on you, and he'd heal you. Amen. So thank you, Lord, for healing this man in Jesus' name. And you walk off, and then the next day or two or three, you come back in that grocery store, and that same guy's in, he said, hey, you that person. You that guy that laid hands on me. You know, did you know right after you walked around the corner, that pain all went away?
Amen.
And so, you know, you'll be like me. I remember the first time that I prayed for a boy with a big wart on the back of his hand. Big old wart. He'd put that white stuff on it. You know that stuff they make, the doctors, that turns white when you put it on a wart? Supposed to freeze it or whatever it does. I don't know what it does. But anyway, it don't work very well. But anyway, the very first time that I had seen warts go away, I seen it happen to myself when a lady prayed for me and all kinds of warts went away. And so then she told me, she said, Thurman, you can do this. I said, me? I can do this? She said, sure. And she said, I said, how do you do it? She said, well, I'll tell you. This is what you do. And she says, let not the warts on the hands or the whatever of Thurman Lee Scrivener corrupt or corrode him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I said, that's all I got to do? She says, yes, that's all you got to do. Let not the warts on the hands of Thurman Lee Scrivener corrupt or corrode him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So I prayed that prayer. I bet you I spoke that prayer in my spirit being thousands of times. Did I ever pray for anybody? No, I didn't pray for nobody, but I'm learning that prayer, and I'm praying it, but I ain't praying it for nobody, because I don't see nobody's got any warts. Then one day, I come upon this young man. I mean, I bet I have prayed that prayer 1,000 times. What am I doing? I'm growing, that's exactly right. I am growing. So I'm praying, and I'm growing. And so as I do that, this young boy comes in, a young man, probably 18, 19 years old, and I see this big old white thing on the back of his hand. I said, what's wrong with you? He said, well, Thurman, I've got a wart on the back of my hand. I said, well, how would you like to get rid of it? He said, that's what I'm putting the medicine on it for. I'd like for it to go away, but it won't do it. I said, come over here. He came over, and I said, take that piece of paper there and write your full name down for me. He wrote down Clifton Wayne Hurley. I still remember that name, no problem. I said, okay, now then, I'm going to go home and pray for you, and I'm going to guarantee you that thing's going to go away. And then when I walked out the door, I thought, you crazy idiot. You ain't never seen an answer to prayer, and you just guarantee that kid that that wart as big as that quarter is going to go away, you fool. So anyway, I go home, and I get down on my knees, and I'm trembling, thinking, I just made a crazy statement that God will take that wart off. I don't know what he's going to do. But I prayed that simple prayer, and about 2 or 3 weeks later, my phone rang one day. He said, Thurman, this is Cliff. And I said, well, son, how you doing? He said, you remember that wart on the back of my hand? I said, yes, sir. He said, it ain't there. It's gone. I said, you don't mean it. Now, do we all have to start somewhere, Max? We got to learn to start out somewhere, just like you did when you prayed your Psalms 91 over your family when they was in Europe the other day.
Amen.
And the Lord, it's amazing how his wife and children and everything was right there in some of those places in the restaurants or whatever, where the next day or two, just they hadn't been home just a day or two or something, whenever they got attacked over there. But smacks, he prayed and stood on Psalm 91 for his family, and not a single thing happened to none of them. You know, so does God's word work?
Amen.
Yes. You know, the only thing about this, we need to get to the point where we are believing God with such strength that if it's written in this book, study my word, hide my word in your heart, that when we pray for somebody, we need to make sure that we know, that we know, that we know it's a done deal. Just like Miss Carrie. You know, I mean, I just laugh every time I think about her and her husband how when they went to Florida to pray for that relative. When that person, that was a lady, wasn't it? A lady went down there to pray, and when they got there, the lady was already in hospice. And you all know how people look when, by the time you put them in hospice, it's over. I mean, your history. No two ways about it. Well, they walk up there, and Carrie looks at this relative on hospice, and she thinks, oh, my goodness, she looks awful. And she heard this wonderful little voice, Carrie, Jesus prayed for Lazarus, and he had been dead 4 days. This lady's still alive. This ain't going to be no problem for me. All you got to do is pray. And so you prayed, and sure enough, the lady went home, didn't she? Came out of hospice and went home.
For 7 months.
For 7 months, yeah, so praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I know that was just a coincidence. You know that there ain't no two ways in your heart. You know that God did that because, first of all, you got to hear his voice. Wasn't that wonderful? The Lord tell you that, Miss Carrie, Jesus prayed over Lazarus, and he had only been dead 4 days. 4 days. Now, that's beyond mine and your level right now, Miss Jackie, but we're going to get there, aren't we? We're going to get there. Wow. But I think about the things that we can pray for, but we don't believe God will do it for us. But we have to get to the point where we realize it's not us, it's his righteousness, and it's God, and Christ is living in you, the hope of glory. Yeah, and it's not anything that you and me are doing. But I mean, you can be the worst boy on the block, or worst girl, either one. You can be that, and God, if he wants to do something, like Cheryl and I was laying there in the bed last night talking about some of these things, I'm telling her, I said, you know, everything that God's going to do with this body, he already pre-planned it before the foundations of the world. Do y'all know that? Your life, he had planned and completed before the foundations of the world. Before Max was even thought about, he had planned your complete birth, future, everything he's going to do with you, everything, didn't he, Max?
Yeah.
It's all already pre-planned. Yeah. Technically speaking, you can't change that. God's the only one can change that. And if he's got it pre-planned and he wants it to happen, that's just like me the day that years ago when I was down there in Houston underneath that 20,000 pounds of steel, whenever I forgot to do my paperwork, when the Lord spoke to me and said, son, you forgot to do your paperwork. Now, that was the second time I'd ever heard God's audible voice. But whenever he said that, I said, Lord, that's true. I said, I was going to run by the corporate office and I forgot it. I said, but Lord, I just like 15 minutes under here, and then I'll run back over there, and I'll get it done. He said, no, son, I want you to go right now. I want you to do it right now. So I said, okay. I mean, ain't nobody out there but me and him. And, you know, so I'm out there technically all by myself. So I just crawled out from under and stood up and took 2 steps. When I took that second step, that structure holding that 20,000 pounds of steel just exploded. And when it exploded, 20,000 pounds of steel hit the ground where I was 5 seconds before. But you think God was, son, get out of mother, it's a fix the fall. No, he knew exactly. I mean, he controls time. He controls every clock, doesn't he, Max? I mean, he's in total control. There ain't nothing could, I mean, if it had needed another tenth of a second, he could have had an angel hold that up while I got out from under there. There was no problem. Just one little finger is all it would take that angel to hold that up. You know, I think about angels. That's something else we were talking about this week, how we need to, when God does things, we need to give him the glory. All this because we were talking about this, and I said, you know, if you don't do what God says and you don't give him the glory, I said, he can kill you. I said, he can send an angel to kill you. And somebody said, you know, Thurman, God would never send an angel to kill one of us. I said, you know, you obviously haven't read the book of Acts. You know, I said, you know, he definitely, I mean, I said, Nebuchadnezzar. Yeah, Herod, that's right here. Herod, thank you. I said, King Herod, he made a speech. He's up there giving a speech, and everybody's clapping. And boy, this speech is a speech of a God. But he's out there saying, yeah, I'm really good. You know, I mean, man, I'm really, y'all want to touch me? You know? That's kind of the way I saw him strutting himself. And they said, he said, and the Lord says, angel, he's failing to give me the glory. That I put those words in his mouth. Do you think God put those words in his mouth? Absolutely, God put those words in his mouth. He put every word that's in mine in your mouth. And if you get anything today out of this message, you need to praise him, not anybody else. And just like everything else we do, we need to praise him and worship him, because whenever King Herod didn't give him the glory, he said he sent an angel and killed him right there in front of everybody. And when his body fell on the ground, this piece of dirt, he sent maggots to, I mean, instantly the whole ground turned to maggots, and they began to eat and go and mulch his body right there in front of everybody. Does it pay good dividends to tick off the king? I don't think so. People, see, we read these stories and say, you know, God would never do that today. Oh, yeah, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't tick him off. In fact, I think it's, I'm not sure, but I think it's Psalm 2. Let's go to Psalm 2. I think it's the last line in Psalms 2. Psalms 2, verse 2, I think. And let's see what that says. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. Wow. Come up here and read that with your microphone. I want you to read that real good. Kiss the Son. Is that what that says?
Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him.
Now, if you want to be blessed, you put your trust in him.
Amen.
You worship him and praise him and you thank him and you give him glory. But, I mean, from that psalm right there, do you want to anger him?
No.
Even a little bit?
No.
What happens if you do? You might be like King Herod? Do you want to be like King Herod?
No.
I don't believe I do. I'd a whole lot rather praise him, worship him, thank him. I don't want nothing to attack us. I want us to give God the glory. He is really a merciful and mighty God. But you know, do you know that you have a button that you can be pushed? I don't care who you are. Every one of us have a button that can be pushed. And once in a while, somebody pushes mine.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever had that problem?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Maybe Cheryl said, what did you say, man? It's my wife.
Maybe it's your wife.
Well, I'll say that's true, that's for sure. Yes, this girl has pushed my button several times in my life.
For the better, though.
Do what?
For the better.
Oh, for the better, okay. It is amazing the buttons that we have, that we can be having a beautiful, perfect day and everything be going perfect. And somebody say something or do something, and you can just go off on a tangent. Every one of us can do that because we're human beings. But, well,
Pastor Jeff says don't have buttons.
There you go. Don't have buttons. There you go. That would be wonderful if we could do that.
That's what Pastor Jeff said.
That's what he said. Don't have buttons. Okay, Lord, take away our buttons. Oh, goodness, take away our buttons. Okay. So what does it say there? Kiss the Son. lest he be angry. Wow. And you perish from the way. His wrath be kindled but a little. So what if you really tick him off? What do you think is going to happen one day with all the wickedness and everything that's out here with all these people? You know, we've read this scripture before. I don't remember where it is, but it says something like that. Let's see, how's that written? About, I can't remember exactly about what it talks about, how the whole earth, the wicked. Well, and one of the things that comes across is in that Psalms 91, he says there that you, as the righteous, you will see, you'll have 1,000 fall at your right side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only see the reward of the wicked with your eyes. Do you want to see I don't even want to be close enough to see that. But even though I know he's going to protect us and we're going to be safe, I don't even want to be close enough that I can even see the reward of the wicked, because from what I've seen the Lord do, just think, Sodom and Gomorrah. When I can't even think of the guy's name, Lot. When Lot and his wife and his two daughters left Sodom and they got away from the city, as soon as they were gone, the Lord told them, said, you have to leave because I can do nothing until you are in safety. Yeah. Now that's comforting, isn't it? Yeah. That he's not going to do anything until we're in safety. But once they were in safety, he told them, now don't look back. I don't want you to see this destruction, but I'm going to annihilate Sodom and Gomorrah and all the surrounding towns. I'm going to drop the first neutron bomb on this place, and I'm going to annihilate. And is that what he did?
Yeah, he
did. I mean to tell you, that's what he did. And whenever they heard the blast and the fire and the lights or whatever, Mrs. Lot looked back. And what did God do to that woman? Turned her into a pillow of salt. When he says, don't look back, what did he mean?
Don't look back.
Don't look back. Now then, if his word and him are the same, if he tells us things to do in this word and we don't do what he says, we could be in an era, a time of trouble, right? So if he says something in the word about how we're supposed to do things and be holy and not to be wicked and to walk in love and all those kind of things, if that's what we're supposed to do, then what should we do? We should do exactly what he said, right? Because if you tick him off, and that's my terminology, if you tick him off, you think he's going to let you out because you're his favorite? He don't have no favorites, does he? Wow. Let's go back to 1 John 1:9. Go back to 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you sin, now then I'll clarify that a little bit. When you're lost, when you don't know Jesus, and you come to Jesus, he doesn't say you have to confess your sin. Now, lots of people will tell you that you have to confess sin, but that's not true. That is one of the places redemption is used. And when you ask Jesus to come into your heart and be your Lord and Savior, he redeems you from all sin and all curse. It's a done deal. You're redeemed. You're washed in the blood. All you got to do is call one word, Jesus. When you call on the name of Jesus, he is sitting there waiting to save you. So he will save you. Now then, 30 minutes later, you probably have by this time committed one or two or three sins, if you're normal. You know, because most people, when they accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, they don't realize that they've been redeemed. They don't realize I've just been redeemed from sin. So all the sins I've committed from the beginning of time to now, when I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, he redeems me from sin, which means I'm clean. I mean, I'm washed in the blood now. That's just like I remember the night down there at Cook's Medical Center when this couple, probably 21, 22-year-old and had a little wife, they're 18 or 19 or 20, whatever, that she was a Christian, she said, but she didn't go to church, and her husband was not a Christian. And they have a two-month-old son laying in there in Cook's Medical Center that is got 95% brain dead and going to be dead by morning, and it's already 10, 11 o'clock at night now. And he's going to be dead. And so I asked this young girl, was she a Christian? She said, yes. I said, you go to church? She says, no. I said, why? She said, well, because my husband is not a Christian, so we don't go to church. I said, you're not a Christian, son? He says, well, I believe in God. I said, well, everybody believes in God. The demons believe in God and tremble. But I said, you know, you got to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So I explained all that to him. I got him to accept Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And when he did that, I said, now then, you have just accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I said, you have just been redeemed from every sin, and you've just been redeemed from every curse. So I said, you're never going to be in a better shape or a better place to get your little son healed than right now. And so I said, take me in there to where your little baby's at. So they take me in there, and here's this little two-month-old baby laying there that's got tubes plugged in all over him, little sensors taped to his little body. Ain't nothing hardly moving at all. And the doctor said, he's 95% brain dead, and he'll be gone tonight. He cannot live. There's nothing we can do. Well, I told that young man, I said, son, I said, you are the spiritual authority over this child. And I said, will you just say, Thurman, I give you the spiritual authority over my child, because I knew that he didn't know nothing about the Word of God. He just got saved. So when you just get saved, what do you know about Jesus? Nothing. You don't know nothing. So I told him, give me the spiritual authority. He said, sir, I don't even know what you're talking about. I said, just say yes. And so he said, yes. And so I reached in there, and on that little naked tummy was a little bit of space right here on his tummy. And I reached over and put my two fingers. And when I put those fingers on him, I said, be healed, according to Mark 16, 17, and 18. Jesus, like Mike said there a while ago, he made that pretty hard to mess up, didn't he, Mike? Lay hands on the sick and they'll get well. That's pretty difficult. So I laid my hands on that little kid right there on that little tummy and just said, be healed in the name of Jesus. I said, thank you, Lord, it's done. And we turned and started to walk out, and she said, what are you going to do? I said, all we need to do is just praise the Lord and worship him. I said, your baby will live, I guarantee. Your baby will live, I guarantee it. Why can I guarantee that? His sins are all remitted. When we come to Jesus and we ask Jesus to come into our heart to be our Lord and Savior, how many of our sins does he forgive?
All.
Not just part of them?
No.
All. I mean all, right? All. Like all. I mean all. I don't understand what I don't understand about all. But he's... Whenever we prayed, and of course, technically speaking, he redeems you not only from sin, but he redeems you from the curse of sickness. It's all part of the Galatians 3:13 and 14 message. You've been redeemed from sin, and you've been redeemed from the curse. Is there a better time to pray for somebody than that? No, there's not a better time nowhere. So anyway, when I reached over and laid my fingers on that little tummy and said, be healed in the name of Jesus, and then turned and said, I guarantee you, baby will live and not die. And so I left. I mean, once I'd done my part, that's all I can do. You know, I exercised the power that God put in me to do what he told me to do. Now it's in his hands. And with Jesus, what's impossible?
Nothing.
And that's all you got to remember. That's all you can say, I guarantee you, baby will live. We've done everything, and so you walk off. Next morning when I walk in, that little girl comes, grabs me, says, Mr. Thurman, come over here. I want you to see my baby. I said, what did Jesus do? She said, I can't tell you. You got to see this. She said, come over here. So she took me over there, and I looked down. The little guy, 2 months old, had already unplugged nearly all them things himself, and he's laying there without nothing hooked to him, and everything's working. His little tummy's pumping air. He's breathing. She said, the doctors just don't understand it, but they say he's healed.
Amen.
And so I thought. So anyway, the next day, the very next day, the father, the grandfather, had went down somewhere to a store, Walmart or somewhere, and bought a little red wagon with little sideboards on it and a little pillow. And he had that pillow and that little wagon, and he had that little kid laying down in there, and he's pulling him all over that Cook's Medical Center telling everybody what Jesus had done for his grandson. And he was a Southern Baptist. You know, but Southern Baptists shouldn't get excited when Jesus shows up, I guarantee you. So you see, all you got to do is do something God's way. And then, of course, as I thought about what happened there, there's that little baby. I still can see this just like it happened yesterday. There's that grandfather with that little wagon there. And then all of a sudden coming down the hallway is a little girl, probably, I don't know, 25, 30 years old, I guess, somewhere in that neighborhood. She's screaming. And everybody said, "Ma'am, what's wrong with you?" She said, "They just called me and said my six-year-old son was shot in the park, and he's here in the hospital, and he's dying." And that boy stepped over and said, "You see that guy right there?" She said, "Yes." He said, "They told us yesterday that our baby is going to die that night. He prayed for him. We're taking him home today." He said, "You need to have that guy pray for your baby." Technically speaking, the hospital should be full of men like that, shouldn't it, Scott?
Yes.
We ought to have men that can say, find him, any one of these men, lay hands on that baby and get that child healed. Isn't that right, Max? We should be able to do that. So anyway, she said, "Sir, will you pray for my baby?" I said, "Well, sure I will, but I said, there's some things about you I got to know." Now, the other couple that I prayed over their baby and the baby got well, did I know the things I needed to know to get the child healed? Yes, I did. I knew I just led him to Jesus. I knew he was redeemed. I knew he was redeemed from the sin. I knew he was redeemed from the curse. I knew he's the spiritual head of the home. I knew all these things. So with all that going on, all I got to do is just touch him and say, "Be healed," use the scripture, and Jesus will heal him. Amen. But now this little girl, I don't know nothing about her. So I said, "I got to know a few things about you first." And she said, "Like what?" I said, "Are you a Christian?" "Yes." "Do you go to church?" "Well, some." And I said, "I see you're pregnant. What's that got to do with it?" I said, "Maybe nothing, maybe everything." She said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Is that baby conceived in wedlock or out of wedlock?" "Well," she says, "out of wedlock. I'm living with a man I'm not married to." I said, "Ma'am, that's why your son got shot in the back, because of your sin of adultery." I said, "God says in his word, every act," this is in Hebrews 2, "every act of sexual immorality will be judged." Every act. In fact, I think that's 13:4 or something. It's actually not that other one, Hebrews 2:2. That's, it just says every act of disobedience to the law will be judged. How many? Every one. So anyway, when I told her, I said, "You know, you have to repent. And you have to make God a promise that you will not do that no more." She said, "What if I don't?" I said, "Then I'm going to guarantee you your baby's going to die." Yeah. "What if I do?" I said, "Then I can guarantee you your baby will live." See, that's that song, that's 1 John we read there a while ago. What was the very first word again?
If.
If we confess our sin. If we confess our sin. He is faithful and just and to forgive us our sins and to restore us to righteousness. Can you beat a deal like that? No, you can't beat a deal like that. So anyway, she said, "Okay." So I said, "Fall down here on your knees and repent." I mean, we're in the middle of ICU. You know, there's 20 or 30 people running around in that room. So I said, "Fall down on your knees, young lady, and repent of your sin." So she did, and she repented. And after she got through, I helped her up, and I said, "Now come on, let's go in there." So we go in there where that baby's at. We walk in there, and I asked that nurse sitting at the head of the bed, at the foot of the bed, I said, "Is he going to live or die?" She looked and said, "Sir, I can't tell you anything." I said, "Well, okay." So I said, "Just motion with your head. Is he going to live?" She said, I said, "Okay." So I went around and put my hands on his little forehead right here. He had stuff plugged in him all over him. Put my fingers right there, and I said, "Satan, you've lost this boy. You've lost him." I said, "You know, his mother has repented of her sin. You have no more legal claim to this child." Amen. Well, see, Satan, when you get a hold of the fact that Satan can't come and kill you without legal right. Amen. He has to have legal right to do it. He just can't come in and say, "Oh, there's, There's Miss Jackie there today. I don't like her. I'm just going to zap her.
No way, no.
That's right. That's right. He has no legal right. If he did shoot a dart on our fiery air at you, what does Psalm 91 say he'll do? Send his angel and he'll grab that air right out of there and it will not hit you, right? Well, see, you got to know the word. And so anyway, that little girl, she had repented. We prayed the prayer of faith for that little boy after I laid my fingers on his head and commanded Satan to leave him. And I said, now, Lord, thank you for healing this boy. And it's done in Jesus' name. Turned around to the little girl and said, your boy will recover. I guarantee it in Jesus' name. And sure enough, within the next day, they took him out of ICU and put him into a recovery room. And a couple of, maybe a week later, the grandmother, I was in the cafeteria having a sandwich. And this woman comes walking down the hallway there. And I was sitting there at a table. And she walked up and she said, they tell me you're Thurman Scrivener. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, they tell me you're the man that prayed for my grandson a couple of days ago that was dying with a bullet in his back. I said, yes, ma'am. She walked over to that table and she said, sir, would you stand up? And I thought, well, okay, I'm having a sandwich. But I thought, usually you don't shake hands with women, you know, but unless they extend their hand. So I stood up, and when I did, this woman just grabbed me. I mean, she pulled herself up and kissed me on the cheek, and she said, sir, I want to tell you how much I love you. Now, how do you get women to do that? You save their grandson, right, Scott? Now, how many of us have that same power in us? Every one of us. Every one of us, let's put it this way. I guess maybe I haven't asked the most important question I'm going to ask today. Do you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that there's no doubt in your heart that if you were to die tonight, that you know you'd open your eyes in eternity in glory with heaven, with Jesus? Do you know that for sure? Okay. Praise the Lord. If you don't know that, then before you leave here today, you need to find one of us and you need to make that decision. Because let me tell you, if you don't know for sure where you're going when you leave here, you might be making the wrong trip. And you don't want to do that, do you, Miss Carrie? That trip, that other trip, you don't want to go to that place. Ooh, I can think of lots of things I'd rather do than to go to hell. In fact, I guess about everything, anything I'd rather do than to go to hell, right, Max? We don't want nothing to do with that place. But that's awful. That place is awful. But I want to make sure that you know, and if there is anybody in here that does not know that for sure, don't go home without making sure you get with one of the prayer warriors or something and say, I won't accept Jesus. In fact, you can just voice that right now in your own heart and just say out loud to yourself, right where you're sitting, and say, I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. And he will in no wise turn you down. He will save you and he'll change your life forever. Now let me ask you a question. All of y'all that held up your hand a while ago, that you have made Jesus Lord of your life. I mean, some of you like me held up two hands. You know, that you were so... Now let me ask, how many of you have done that that is sorry that you did that? Not a single hand. And I mean, if you held up your hand on that one, you got something wrong with you, right? Wow. Lord, I thank you for this beautiful day. I thank you that you live in us. I thank you that you've given us the power and authority to pray for the sick and to pray for the lost, to bring people into the kingdom of God, to save them, to heal them, to deliver them, to just meet their needs. Every way, as sons and daughters of God, you've given us that power to do that for the people that need you as Lord and Savior. And thank you, Lord, for showing us how simple it is. All we got to do is get them to call on the name of Jesus. And then when we get them to call on the name of Jesus, now then if they have a sickness, all we got to do is lay hands on them and they'll get healed. So in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you and praise you for meeting every person in need in here today. And as we go forth this week, I ask you to use every one of us mightily to do great things for your kingdom. And Lord, may this be a great week in all of our lives. Like Max said a while ago, when I asked him, how's he doing? He said, I'm doing absolutely magnificently wonderful, but I'm rapidly improving. I love that. I've said that so many times, but that's absolutely the way it should be. You should be. That's the way you should be as a Christian. And when somebody said, how are you today? You said, man, I am so absolutely magnificently wonderful, but I'm rapidly improving. They said, what in the world caused you to be like that? Hey, it gives you a chance to tell them about Jesus, right? And you need to do that. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for all these people that you're going to use this week to bring glory and honor to your name. That we're going to go out and we're going to do great things for your kingdom. We're going to save the lost. We're going to heal the sick. We're going to cleanse the lepers. We're going to even pray for the dead. We're going to believe you that you can do anything, Lord. There ain't nothing impossible with you. So I give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.